to the majority saying yes, and in they went. So now, stepping stones, we're now in a situation where we are light years away from what we actually joined. Stepping stones. Only now are some people saying, excuse me, have you seen how far we've come? It's interesting that right along the line, as the stepping stones are put forward, anyone who challenges the stepping stones is then manipulated into continuing the journey. I was speaking in Denmark at the time I was in the Swedish area also, and what they did was had a referendum which voted against Maastricht, against the European Union. They then had another referendum not long afterwards, which then said, yes, we'll go in. And as one national newspaper editor in Denmark said to me, he was told by one of the big pro-Maastricht people in Denmark, we're just going to go on having referendums until we get the result we want. That's how it works, because we are in the land of the free. So that's the technique, and it's being used to bring in the microchip population. And the big stepping stone to that is the cashless society. Coins and bits of paper might not seem to be a great defender of freedom, but they are for this reason. If you go into a shop now, or a garage or whatever, and you hand over cashless money, electronic money, a credit card, they put it through that machine. And they say sometimes, well, I'm ever so sorry, the computer won't accept your card. And if you've paid the bill, you might be a bit surprised, but you've got an alternative at the moment. So you say, oh, well, okay, I'll have to check that out. Okay, I'll pay cash. What happens when there's no cash and that computer says no to electronic money, your credit card, or the microchip that is planned to replace it? Suddenly, the computer is deciding, or whoever programs it, what, where, and if you purchase. That's the idea. And if there's one thing in all this that is most important to reject, in my humble opinion, it is microchipping of people, because the implications are enormous. Some electronics people who've seen this sort of thing emerging have started to speak out. I've been reading some stuff by a guy in America called Carl Sanders, an electronics wizard. And he's pointing out that, in fact, he's talking himself about his own experience of attending meetings in America and Europe, attended by Henry Kissinger and the CIA, into microchipping of people. Not, is it right, is it moral, but how do we get them to accept it? And as he points out, once people are microchipped, it's not just messages going from the microchip to the computer that should concern us, it's what's coming the other way. According to him, they can create, through this means, mass hysteria, mass depression, in other words, manipulate our emotions, and isolate one microchip in one person. I got some idea of the possibilities when I realized how Sky Television works. You know this satellite television network we have in Britain? Well, if you want to join the Sky Network thing, okay, you send your money off or whatever, and they send you a card. And it's programmed to descramble the channels you've paid for. Very straightforward. But if you want more channels than you've paid for once you've got the card, you would think, well, I did anyway, that you would send them more money and they'd send you another card programmed to descramble the channels you've want added to it. No, no. What you do is you pick up the phone and you ring their number. It's in Scotland, I think. And they say, okay, what channel do you want? Oh, I'll have that second movie channel, mate. Thank you very much. Yeah. And they say, okay, put your television on the channel that you want. All fuzz, scrambled. So while you're still on the phone, they say, okay, just tell me what's happening to your screen. Only the channel appearing before your eyes, that's all. So I thought, how do they do that? I heard about it, gave them a ring. How do you do that? What they do is they send out a signal from this central, what do you call it, technology, I guess, and it goes to every decoder linked to the Sky system, but only your card with your number on it picks it up. It reprograms the card to take the new channel, and it comes up before your eyes. When you think there are two types of science in the world, there's the one that is taught in the universities and appears on the television, and there's another one that is light years ahead, secret science, what they can actually do compared with what we see they can do with things like the Sky television example are vastly, vastly advanced. I wrote a book called The Robots' Rebellion, and I talked about this microchip population idea. And I've even been surprised by the speed of it. I turned on the BBC a few months ago. I don't know if you saw this. It was funny. Tomorrow's World. You know the science program on the BBC? They had this item on microchipped people, see. What they said was, there's this problem with health records. I thought something must be done then, I suppose. The problem, apparently, was that they don't keep health records for long enough. So they're suggesting microchipping people with their health records to overcome this problem. Now, I never went to university, but I can actually see a solution to the problem of not keeping health records for long enough. Keep them longer. There you go. Let's all go and have a cup of tea. That's that sorted out. No, that's too simple. We've got to microchip people. The other thing they said was that doctors would like to have access to medical records if people have an accident. So microchip them. So, takes things on. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, my mother was always saying to me, you have clean underpants on now, Dave. You might have an accident. You ever get some of that? Yeah. My mother's worst nightmare was not me having an accident so much as me having an accident with dirty underpants on. That was her worst nightmare. But all these years later, we've moved into the modern world. Now it's, you make sure you're microchipped, our Dave, you might have an accident. Anyway, in this item, and I checked the date, it wasn't April Fool's Day or anything like that, they had this woman who had had an operation and had been microchipped with her medical records. Oh, it's ever so convenient, she said. I'm eating the cushion in the front room by now, you know. And then what happens, you know, in the supermarkets, they got that thing they put across the barcode. Doctor walks into shop with one of them, rubs it up her front. Up on the screen comes this woman's medical records. I thought, I'm going to wake up in a minute here, you know. But at the end of the item came the key little clip, not very long, by the managing director of the company that's produced the technology, the microchip. This is just the start, he says. We can put on this chip medical records, financial records, passport details, social security details, prison record, the flipping lot. Exactly. That is the idea. And it's been moving along, unmolested, for a very long time, because its great power is secrecy. And when you think that so much of the mainstream media is controlled by the very force that wishes to bring it about, it's not surprising that so little of it has come out. But I feel we're now in a time of enormous change, a great jump in human evolution. And therefore, an energy of change is bringing this stuff to the surface. And its secrecy, its great power, is being unveiled. And I certainly don't want to be seen to be condemning the people I have talked about. And I mean, I've heard some people who've investigated this without the spiritual balance, and they're saying, oh, hang them, rubbish. The people involved in this manipulation are, yes, exhibiting their state of being at this time in their eternal journey. They are exhibiting their attitude to life and the state of their mind, okay. But they're also making a massive statement about us, which we would do very, very well to acknowledge and think about. I don't talk about the Carringtons and the Kissingers and the Rockefellers with hate in my heart or condemnation. I just think we ought to know what's going on so we can stop it going on. Because what I've just described is actually a massive statement about us, because it can only happen because of us and the fact that we have conceded our right to our own power and our own control of our own lives. And I'm going to talk for a little while about something that may seem to be totally unconnected with what I've talked about so far, but it is actually the reason it's possible, and it is the reason that we are the generations that are in the process of removing this nonsense and turning this planet from a prison to a paradise, which is what it really should be. When the top of my head exploded and this awareness started appearing in my mind that challenged both religion and this world is all there is science, I heard this line, "We create our own reality." And I thought, yeah, that sounds right to me. But there has to be a means through which we do it, because there is no such thing as the paranormal and no such thing as the supernatural. They don't exist. Everything that happens in creation is the result of the natural laws of creation and the interaction of energy. What we call the paranormal and the supernatural is merely that which the system wishes to push away. Because, again, I have this word I use sometimes, opposames. Opposames are people and organizations who appear to be in opposition, often appear to be extreme opposition, but actually they're just the same attitude to life with a different dress on. I love the far right and the far left. I love that one. The far right, as symbolized by Adolf Hitler, is into centralized control, military dictatorship, concentration camps. The far, far left, as symbolized by Joseph Stalin, the absolute opposite to that, is into centralized control, military dictatorship, and concentration camps. Yeah, great. It's great to have choice in the world, isn't it? And opposames also applies to religion and science, because they appear to be in opposition, but in one way they're exactly the same. They both survive only through the suppression of knowledge. What we call science, which I understand comes from a Greek word meaning knowledge, and much of our science is an insult to the word knowledge, because it's not about the pursuit of knowledge, it's about the defense of a belief system. You know, it's just another religion, science. Instead of having the dog collar and the long gown, they have a white coat on. It's still the religion. Open-minded science, now that's different. That is in pursuit of knowledge. And more, the spiritual and the open-minded scientific are speaking the same language, and that's the way we're going in this decade and beyond. But at the moment, mainstream science is defending a belief system. So it has this law of physics on which it's all based. And this law of physics says, this world is all there is, we're a cosmic accident heading for oblivion, life's a bitch and then you die. Cheers, that's great news. Yeah, thanks a lot, mate. Yeah, it's really good that. So, anything that is experienced by people outside of this has to be explained away. Now, it could be explained away by the fact the laws of physics, as we have come to be told about them, are actually fundamentally flawed. But no, hold on. Them physics, they pay my mortgage. They give me my status in life. You know, they give me my credibility. I've been saying all my life that's how things are. I mean, so therefore, I've got to explain that away, because all these people keep having near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences and stuff. So, do you know I've got it? It's the paranormal. It's the supernatural. It's as natural as the air we breathe. And it's in that area, I believe, that we find how we create our own reality, and through that create the reality I've been talking about so far tonight. For me, an increasingly open-minded science, everything in creation is the same energy, and energy is consciousness. They are the same thing. So the energy that is our minds and our emotions and us is the same energy that is every blade of grass and every insect and every tree and every breath we take, every drop of rain. Just as water, clouds, and ice are the same substance in very different states of being, so everything that exists in creation is the same energy consciousness in different states of being. We are like droplets of water in an ocean of consciousness, unique and individual, yes, but together forming the whole. We are each other. I am you, you are me, I am everything, and everything is me, same with everyone. And this gigantic, infinite mind we call God, or whatever name you want to put to it, operates on multidimensional frequencies. It's interesting, because of the influence of religion, when anyone talks about kind of the afterlife, we look up. Have you noticed that? On the flaming roof or something, I don't know. Want to go to heaven? Get a ladder. You know. But for me, an increasingly open-minded science, creation is actually broken up into wavelength frequencies sharing the same space. All the radio and television stations broadcasting to this area are occupying not just the space around my body, but the space my body is occupying. We're on different wavelengths. Therefore, one radio station, unless it's very close in its frequency to another, operates in complete oblivion of all the other wavelengths.